This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته طبتم وطاب سعيكم وامشاكم وتبوأتم جميعا من الجنة منزلا صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فيكم وأن يزيدكم علما ونورا My dear respected brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all and we will welcome you in this blessed event. Firstly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity in gathering and coming together to learn and to benefit. And secondly, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the committee of the masjid for allowing this gathering to happen. And thirdly, we would like to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you all for coming and attending. And finally, we would like to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our dear brother and our lecturer today for taking the time out of busy schedule and inshallah benefit us with important points. And inshallah, the Ustaz will mention a beautiful subject which regards to friends and everything pertaining that. So inshallah, without further ado, as they say, we'll hand over the mic to Ustaz Al-Mutaymi Hafidhullah to enlighten us with the beautiful reminder. Jazakallah khair. Faytafaddal mashkoola ma'idullah.
Alhamdulillah, الذي جعل الدين مواتب ودرجات وصير بالعلم به وصولا ومهمات. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله حقا. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Dear respective brothers and sisters, جزاكم الله خير for attending again this evening. Inshallah ta'ala, as the brother announced, we want to speak about this very, very important topic, which is the companion that a person takes as a friend. And subhanAllah, I think also previously I gave a similar lecture about this topic a couple of years ago in the same masjid. And I think this is around the 20th time I'm speaking about this topic, bad companions. It's become like a signature lecture. And the reason I believe that we had to speak about this issue so many times is every city that you go to in this country, even in other places in Europe, you find that there is the same problem that every family is currently suffering from. Most of our kids are not able to stay at home. Obviously, they are in the mujtama', they are socializing, and the socializing normally comes from when people, they go to school, the universities that they're studying in, where they meet new people. Had a person been staying at home 24 hours of the day, under the guardianship of his parent, then I'm sure they wouldn't be able to interact with others. But this is just the reality that we have to face. They have to go outside. And when they do go outside, they start interacting with all kinds of people. And you know, brothers, especially the youngsters and our sisters, today I just want to, inshallah ta'ala, share an experience. And just really speak to you from my heart. They say whatever comes from the heart, it ends up hitting the heart. Something that happened to me personally, so that you could take this as a lesson. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm not here to lecture you. But rather, something that happened to me personally, hopefully inshallah ta'ala, when you do leave today, this will play a part in your minds. And then hopefully inshallah ta'ala, you can go and take it to our other young brothers and sisters. You know, brothers and sisters, I have a big scar on my head right here. If I was bald, I would have shown you, but I'm not. I have a lot of hair. I have another stab wound right here, next to my shoulder, in between my chest here, very long one. Another one here on my finger. I have a scar on my finger here. You know, brothers and sisters, the reason for this, you know why? All because of a stupid postcode. I lived in London for a couple of years. And a lot of the youngsters there, they were up to madness and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. You know why they used to fight and stab one another? Just because this guy's from another postcode. Here you have CV6, right? CV6, the message's postcode is CV6. This is one area, CV4 is another area. Imagine stabbing another individual because he's from CV4. He walks into your neighborhood, you ask him, what area are you from? Because he's now in the wrong territory, he's in the wrong ends, you decide to stab him. And through that, what do you get? You get street rights. Street rights. And when you look at the reality of the situation, brothers and sisters, the most stupid of things. Something that is so worthless and meaningless. How many people in London, you know, they died, they were stabbed, they were shot, all because of this stupid thing. Do any of your brothers know Muslim Bilal? A lot of you youngsters know him, right? Do you know his friend called Musa as well? His name is Musa Gambi. A couple of weeks ago when I was in Brixton, this brother Musa was telling me something that took place when he was still in Jahiliyyah. Because there's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about two tribes, Aws and Khazraj. Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you all. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. When you used to be enemies to one another, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And because of Islam, the blessing of Islam, you became friends. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. You were on the edges of the hellfire. You were on the edges of the hellfire, about to drop in. فَأَنْخَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from it. When me and this brother Musa was speaking, and obviously him and Muslim Bilal, they're very close friends. They're both from the hood over there. They were up to madness back in the day when they were still non-Muslims. We're in Brixton, the brother is saying to me, there was times that they discussed after him and our brother Muslim Bilal. Muslim Bilal wanted to come and stab him on one of these days, because he heard that he's hanging around in this area. But he managed to get away. Another time, same thing. He heard that he was in Foot Locker. So Muslim is coming with all his boys and his friends in order to hurt him. But he didn't manage to get him. And now when Islam came to them, they became the best of friends. This brother Musa, he said to me, when I hear verses like this, it really makes me thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing that He gave me of Islam, and appreciate the fact that I'm a Muslim. Because this is exactly what the people used to do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is exactly what is happening today. You have a predecessor. These gangsters who go around and they fight and they stab and they shoot, all for pathetic reasons. They are carrying on the trend of the people of the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really defamed. They realized, and are we going to realize as well? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, recently, I'm sure you don't know and heard about it, in Leicester, two good families that we know about, member of each family, one of them stabbed the other. When you look at the reason, pathetic. A life was lost from our Somali community. From our Somali community, brothers and sisters, Because of what? A pathetic reason. So brothers and sisters, sooner or later you will find out why a person wants to risk his life, he wants to risk his reputation, he wants to risk his life in this dunya. As I'm going to come on later on, inshallah ta'ala, and speak about some of the consequences it has, you being chucked into prison for the wrong reasons. Remember, brothers, in this country you have one shot. There's something called CRB check. You won't probably realize it now. But later on, when you want to get married and you want to start your life, you want to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to better yourself, you want to start working. But because you have something called a CRB, there's something on your CRB. It's a criminal record. People today who don't have jobs are struggling. And they don't have a criminal record. They're struggling to find a job, brothers and sisters. So, what makes you think that a person with a criminal record is going to get a job? You get chucked in prison, wallahi, brothers and sisters, you're going to go in circles for the rest of your life. I see this now with some of my family members. He's had enough of prison. He's been chucked in there time and time again. He used to go in, he used to come out. He used to go in, he used to come out. Finally, he says, khalas, I've had enough. He wants to start life. He wants to get married. He has desires. Once you get old, you want to have that spouse. But now you can't find a job. You can't find a job and you're going in circles. So because he can't now kickstart his life, he goes and does the exact same thing. And what's going to happen is going to get chucked in prison again. Brothers and sisters, I always mention this, the people start laughing. Nobody is going to do a new edition of Prison Break, and this is the reality. The only one that's probably going to come and visit you is your mom. The one that you disrespect at this moment in time. She tells you, stay home, don't do this. You think she's backwards. She doesn't know the reality of what we are living in. She's a farah. That's how we look at it. She is a farah. She's backwards. We are living in the 21st century. So we know and they don't know. They're backwards. The only person that is probably going to come and visit you is your mother and your father and your other close relatives who used to advise you from day one. Your friends, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to my friend now, who was shot in London, a Somali brother called Sharmarki. I mentioned this before as well. Maybe for a couple of weeks, they're going to be writing on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, also known as Fitnagram. It's what some of the mashayikh, they say. Snapchat. RIP, my brother. Some of us might find this funny. That's what they're going to write. RIP, my brother. Or hit the road soon. Couple of weeks, wallahi, you die out. Nobody's going to give two hoots about your life after 2 weeks. You're forgotten. Nasiyan mansiya. And that's exactly what happened to my friend. Sharmarki Hassan, type him into Google. Type him into Google. Type in also Camden shootings. Sharmarki Hassan. Somali brother. 16 years old, brothers and sisters. 16 years old. He gets shot somewhere near the high street in Camden. Guess what happens after that? Nobody does absolutely nothing. Because now they're beginning to fear for their life as well. This is when I started thinking, okay, nobody done anything now to my friend. Tomorrow if I get shot or something happens to me, nobody's going to do anything. Because before the shootings, what used to happen is, if someone just got slapped up or he got punched up, all his friends are going to come running from one side of the city all the way to that spot they're in. Street riots, right? Who can touch my friend? No. Before I get touched, I'm going to do something about it. Nobody done anything. This is when I started thinking, okay, tomorrow something might happen to me. What's going to happen? Khalas, my life is going to go down the drain like that? Brothers and sisters, these things that happen around us is a lesson to all of us. Lives are being taken like it's a joke. Today, a person feels, this is the life that we're living in at this moment in time. Prophet ﷺ told us, لَا يَتِي زَمَانِ ذِي بَعْدُ الشَّرُّ مِنْ. There doesn't come a time except the time that comes after it is worse. You'll be surprised. People come tell me, brother, I'm carrying X, Y, and Z in my pocket. It's just becoming normal. It's becoming like a trend to carry the knife because he feels unsafe. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, the shaitan has many, many different ways of really brainwashing the individual and making him take a very misguided path. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, خَطَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَطَّ. On the floor he put a line. He said, هَذَا سَبِيلِي. This is my path. ثُمَّ خَطَّ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ خَطَّيْ. Then he put two lines on the right and two lines on the left. And you know what he said after that? هَذَا سَبِيلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. These are the different paths of the different devils. هَذَا سَبِيلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Then we recited the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. This is my path. مُسْتَقِيمًا is straight. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ and follow it. And do not follow the different paths. It will make you misguided. You become deviated away from the correct path once you start taking these different paths. So this is a clear indication, brothers and sisters, we all have a common enemy. He is called the shaytan. The shaytan who swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quotes him in the Quran, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّ مَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمَا مُخْلَصِينَ. I, by your might, he's swearing by Allah, I am going to misguide every single one of them, except those who are sincere. In another verse, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. He swears by Allah that he's going to misguide every single one of you. Does it now require rocket science to understand that we all have a common enemy? وَاللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. I ask you by Allah, if someone threatened your mom to stab her in one of these nights, you're going to be very wary. Day and night you're going to be thinking about it, right? Someone wants to take my mom's life. Shaitan, he clearly told you, I am there to misguide you. You might even go as far as hiring a bodyguard. Going to call the police. They're going to start putting different safeguards in place in order to guard your house, right? It's going to bother us. Does it bother us the same way when it comes to the shaytan and he has all the different paths of misguiding us? And one of these paths, brothers and sisters, is julasa al-su. Having bad companions, the kind of companion that you have. And also if the parent has a role to play. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave emphasis to this matter time and time again. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Every single person who is given birth to, every child, he is born on the natural disposition, the fitrah, the natural way. Salim. مِنَ الْأَسْخَامِ وَالْأَمْرَادِ. He's free from any sicknesses, whether it's spiritual, that which could come from different deviants in our world. But what happens when that newly born child is brought into this world? His parents, they turn him into a Jew, or a Christian, or a Majusi. Because of the tarbiyah, the nurturing of the parent, the kid doesn't know anything. But the people he's surrounded with, they lead him towards the Jewish path, Christian path, the Majusi path, either a Sikh, an agnostic, an atheist, whatever it might be. If the parent is someone who chews qat all the time, or he's a smoker, what's the likelihood the kid's going to do this as well? He's been seeing his dad take a breath throughout his whole life. You want to tell your son don't smoke and you're smoking yourself? You want to tell him don't chew and you're always chewing? You want to tell your child stay in the home but you're never ever there? Or you expect him to come to the masjid when you yourself don't ever come to the masjid? In a Somali language, they got a saying, Gel kemeshu maro, gurba kumara. Wherever the camel goes, then you have all the, what do you call it, the child camels, right? The baby camel. They follow the father wherever he goes. Likewise, you have the father sheep. All the children, they go past, they go behind him all the time. The parent has an influence over the child. And the parent should be a role model to his children. Time and time again we've seen that because of the way the kid was brought up, it passes on very bad traits to the child. So that's now pertaining to the parent. Another point that I wanted to mention, brothers and sisters, we all know Abu Talib, right? Is there anyone here that knows Abu Talib? Huh? Aliga. So is the guy that turns around, it's him, isn't it? Wearing the black thobe. Don't worry, I'm not gonna pick on you, I just wanna ask you a question. Who was Abu Talib? Huh? Who is he? If you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. They say whoever says Allahu A'lam is giving the fatwa. Don't worry. Huh? The Prophet? The Prophet's uncle, Jazakallahu Khair. May Allah give you Jannah. Say Ameen. You don't want Jannah, akhi? They're mumbling in that. Abu Talib was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood up for Islam. But unfortunately, that wasn't enough to enter him into Al-Jannah or to become from the true companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, said about him, إِنَّ أَهْوَنَ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَرَجُلٌ تُوضَعُ فِي أَخْمَسِ قَدَمَيْهِ جَمْرَتَانِ يَغْلِي مِنْهُ دِمَاغًا. The lightest of punishments that one is going to be punished with on Yawm al-Qiyamah is a man, Abu Talib, going to be brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You know what's going to happen to him? جَمْرَتَانِ, two pieces of coal are going to be brought and placed under his ankles. And through that, you know what's going to happen, brothers and sisters? His brain is going to boil. This is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ما يرى أن أحد الأشد منه عذابا وإنه لا أهونهم عذابا. A man will look at his punishment and will think to himself that this is the harshest punishment, the most painful of them, for one to experience. For one to experience on the day of resurrection. But you know what it is, brothers and sisters? It is the lightest of them, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. You know how the munafiqun fi tarki al-asfali min al-nari? Inna al-munafiqin fi tarki al-asfali min al-nari. They're in the lowest part of the hellfire. But Abu Talib is going to be in the highest part. And still he's going to be punished like this. You're going to be looking at his punishment, you're going to think, nobody can get anything harsher than this, or more painful than this punishment that Abu Talib is having. It's actually the lightest. And this is through two coals are going to be placed under his ankles. His brain is going to boil. This is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On his deathbed, brothers and sisters, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةً أُحَاجِبِكَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This statement, if you say it, then I'm going to dispute on your behalf in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going to defend you in front of the Allah Azza wa Jal. His other companions are next to him, Abu Jahl and his mates. And the mandam, as they say, are there. أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. You desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib? The Prophet ﷺ says, say la ilaha illallah. Just say this statement. Then his friends say to him, no. You want to desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib? They were his what? They were his companions. They were his friends. And look how they're affecting him. Till the day he died, they're there, trying to encourage him not to listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he die upon? Did he say la ilaha illallah? He desired the religion of Abdul Muttalib. The religion of worshipping Aslam, statues. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we saw the hadith on the poster. الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم أن يخالف. The man is on the religion of his friend. So be very careful and examine who you befriend and take as a companion. In another hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, إنما مثل جليس الصالح وجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير. Like the one who has a good friend, good companion, and a bad companion, is like the one who sells perfume. And like the blacksmith, who can tell me which one is for who? The good companion, is he the blacksmith? Or is the perfume seller the bad companion? Huh? We're in a Liverpool kit. Huh? Take a guess. The perfume seller, is he like a good companion? Or is he like a bad companion? Like the blacksmith. Blacksmith or perfume? Huh? Which one is which? The good companion is like the perfume seller. The blacksmith is like the bad companion that you have. فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَنْ يُحْذِيَكْ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا وَإِمَّا أَنْ تُبْتَعَ مِنْهُ. When you go and you want to buy some perfume, when you enter into his shop, either you're going to buy from him, or he's going to give you something, right? He's going to say, try it. You're going to come out and you're smelling nice. Or you're going to leave that place, you've come out smelling, you have some very nice fragrance scenting from you. Why? Because his whole shop, place where he's selling his perfume smells very, very nice. You go home, Hoya says, where did you go today? You smell so, mashallah. Fragrance, the traces are still on you. You go visit a blacksmith, look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. وَإِمَّا يُحَبِقَ ثِيَابَكَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَجِدُ مِنْهُ رِيحًا خَبِيثًا. Either when you leave that blacksmith, you're going to come out, he's either burnt you accidentally, or you're going to come out with a very, very not nice smell, very bad smell. And that's exactly how it is. You're with a brother who prays, the time of prayer comes, what's he going to remind you of? He's going to remind you of the salat. Akhi, let's go pray. Prayer only takes 5 minutes. And then when you leave him, you're going to have traces of goodness on you. It's going to be on the back of your mind. My friend took me today to the masjid. It will affect you. It influenced you to some extent. You're with a bad friend, what is he most likely to say? Oh, look how that girl looks like. Go check her out. Look how she looks like. Let's just go watch that movie just one time, one time. Oh, just try this, you know, just try this little zoot that I have. YOLO, you know, you only live once. Just once, try it. And as time goes on, he becomes an addict. He becomes worse than that person who made him try it. Well, I've seen this time and time again. Schools, the little young girl, she goes to primary school, she's wearing hijab. She looks, mashallah, very, very good in a hijab. Soon as she gets into year 7, still wearing a hijab, she sees all her friends around her. A lot of these whites and these other non-Muslims, they've dressed very, very inappropriately. She feels left out, she feels like an outcast. What happens, brothers and sisters? She begins to feel that she's not part of the class. Slowly, slowly, garments start coming off. She gets into year 9. She tells her, oh yeah, but nobody wears it though, innit? Time goes on. Now the hijab's coming off. She gets into year 11. She's talking back to her mom. College? Khalas, she's done. Just because of the people around her. And this is how the biggest of drug dealers became the drug dealers they are. Think they were born upon drug dealing. From a very young age, you think they were drug dealing, a lot of them. But the people that were hanging around them. Also, what I wanted to speak about today, brothers and sisters, is the spouse. I can see a lot of you are young. Maybe in a couple of years, you're going to feel that desire that you want to get married. Remember, brothers and sisters, the spouse that you get married to is the closest companion that you have. The closest. The woman that you get married to and the guy that you get married to is the closest companion to you. Even the friend that you used to hang around with every single day. You wake up, the first friend on the phone, you are to your friend. Even that person is not close to you anymore, it's your wife that you wake up with. And the husband. If you don't choose the right spouse, brothers and sisters, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, it is shaqawa. You will go through a very wretched life. And if you end up getting the right one, it is sa'ada. It's true happiness. So I time and time again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged us to go with the one who has religion. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعُ. A woman, she is normally married due to four reasons. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Normally what people do is, what the guy does, he gets married to a woman for reasons. Either because she's rich, she's boring, and he thinks that she's going to end up paying for his rent, or she's going to end up buying him a car because she's so rich. It's actually dhul, it's humiliation. Second thing is, because of how she looks. Today you find, recently I saw on YouTube, what some of these Somali kids are doing now, wallahi, it's really, really hurt me. Because the sister, she's the one that put herself on social media, wanting to get likes and wanting to get shares. At the end of the day, she looks so ugly in the picture that she's taken. And they're violating her so much. Three guys, three Somali brothers are sitting, you probably know what I'm talking about, all the youngsters, sitting together. They're getting her picture, and everyone's saying, how much mahar would you pay for her? Some of them are saying $50,000, the other one's saying $60,000, the other one's saying $70,000. Would you take her, would you not take her? They get her picture, and thousands of people watch this video. They're violating the system. Oh no, I'd only give her 5 cents. Look how she looks like. Then the next one, oh, she's nice. And then, what was the reason why I mentioned that? Even I forgot.
Jamalia.
Get married because of her what? The way she looks. Everybody here wants a very nice looking wife, right? Wali jamaliha, wali hasabi. And also you get married to a woman, normally because of the lineage that she has. Then the fourth thing was mentioned was the religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Go for the one that has religion. Before you end up hitting your hand on the floor with regret. It's an Arab expression they have. فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. As shared in the Kalam, brothers and sisters, if now your relationship is totally dependent on the money that she has, or the money that he has, or the car that he has, because what I see sometimes is, a sister, she sees a guy with a nice BMW or a nice Audi A5 convertible, and she looks at this and she thinks, khalas, look how rich this boy is, I really like his car, and depending on that, she wants to get married to him. I'm going to ask you a question now. What if that money goes now? Is the relationship going to break down? Because that's the sole purpose as to why you got married to that individual. Do you see now, when the relationship is totally dependent on the wealth, what happens tomorrow if he becomes bankrupt? You're going to leave him? It wasn't necessarily dependent on the religion, right? Okay, also jamaliha. The only thing that you're looking at is her jamal, her beauty. Whether you know it or not, but now get to know, the moment she has kids, don't think that beauty is going to remain on her face throughout her whole life. She's going to start getting wrinkly, she starts putting on a few pounds, starts getting bigger, start losing attraction to her. Third thing, the lineage. So what are you going to do now? Before I go into the lineage, are you going to divorce her just because now all of a sudden she put on a few pounds? She doesn't look like the Coca-Cola bottle that you used to, you know, imagine in your mind. Then the lineage. A mistake that I see people doing is sometimes they look at the family of how good they were. That's the main thing they concentrate on. But then, the sister herself, she might not necessarily be upon the same way as her parents and those before her. Just because the whole family is good doesn't necessarily mean the sister is going to be good as well. She could be polluted. But then the Prophet ﷺ said the religion, that which remains is the religion. That will always remain beautiful is the religion. That doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, you don't take the other three into consideration. Of course, if you get married to a sister, you like her religion, but at the same time you're not attracted to her, that's a problem. You won't be able to stay with her. But what I'm saying is the main thing should be her religion. Because wallahi, it is going to have an effect on your children. You're going to have traces of that individual on them. The guy swears all the time, he can't control his language, and he keeps saying this in front of his kids. Do you think they're not going to pick this up? With every sentence that he says, he uses the F word. F in this, F in that. In some household, to use the F word is totally normal. Why? Because everybody does it. And so on and so forth. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you mentioned another hadith, وَلْيَتَّخِذْ أَحَدُكُمْ قَلْبًا شَاكِرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا. What did he say then? وَمْرَأَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ تُعِينُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. One of you should try to have a lisan that remembers Allah a lot, and also a thankful heart. And the third thing that he mentioned was a righteous woman. Righteous woman, believing one. وَمْرَأَةٌ صَالِحَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ تُعِينَ أَحْدُكُمْ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. That will assist you in your akhirah. You don't wake up, a fajr assist you, why are you not waking up? Because water she throws in your face. هَذِي إِمْرَأَ صَالِحَةٌ. This is a beautiful woman. Your kids are going off the rails, she's trying very hard to keep them on the right path. She asks you, why are you not waking up at Qiyam al-Layl, Allahu Akbar? May Allah subhanahu give every single one of you wives like that. I didn't hear what I mean. It's mostly the elder that are saying this. You kids don't want this? Unless they want second wives as well, you know? Ash-Shahidu, a woman, she, you know, constantly controls the ibadah of that husband that she has. There's a story of Imran ibn Hattan. Anybody here know Imran ibn Hattan? What about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Huh? Look, he looks behind. Adiga, you. Muhammad. Adiga. Who is Aisha? The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we should be mentioning these names and who they are like this. If I ask you about Ronaldo, you're able to tell me his number on the back of his shirt. I ask you about the Liverpool first team, you're able to even tell me who's on the bench. And the guy who's injured, Alayhi Skadarik, you can tell me Ronaldo, his wife's name, if he has a wife, recently had twins, right? You're able to tell me in detail exactly what's going on in his life. What about Aisha and the rest of these companions? These are the people that, brothers and sisters, we need to try and be like. And I've spoken about it time and time. The last time I came, we talked about how the Salaf used to do the Al-Quran in the month of Ramadan. Ash-Shahidu Imran ibn Hattan. Brothers and sisters, Imran ibn Hattan, he was someone who used to take a hadith from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know what happened to him, brothers and sisters? He met a lady. And you know, as they say, love is blind, right? Sometimes you see a lady, you get taken by her beauty. No matter what she's on, you end up going for it. Without taking the important factors into consideration. He met a lady that was from the Khawarij. You don't know the Khawarij? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them Kilabu Ahlina. They are the dogs of the hellfire. Today we find that the Khawarij are around as well. People who think like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, all these other groups that we have today, the terroristic ones. So Imran al-Hattan, because he had a bit of knowledge, you know what he said? No, I'm going to change her. People were like, Imran, don't get married to her. She's going to affect you in your religion. He was like, no, I'm going to end up changing her. He gets married to her. Do you know what he becomes, brothers and sisters? He comes from the Khawarij, the worst of them, the heads of the Khawarij she became. Seen طلاب العلم, students of knowledge, who were so committed to seeking knowledge. And they were doing so well as well. They got married to sisters whose mentalities were completely different. Wallahi, the potential this brother had, I remember, I wouldn't have been surprised. In this year, he would have probably finished Bukhari Muslim by now. Because his wife was just so, you know, just wasn't feeling to talab al-ilm, seeking knowledge. And we find brothers now, brothers and sisters, who are married to wives, righteous ones. They are encouraging them to go out and seek knowledge. Go, don't worry about me. It's the example of a good spouse, and this is the example of a spouse that affects their other halves. Can you not see, brothers and sisters, the effect that it could have on an individual? It could either have a positive one or a negative one. Just because of your friend. الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف. A man is on the religion of his friend. You might not think to yourself now that he's going to affect me, but wallahi, thumma billahi, thumma tallahi. As time goes on, you either get closer to the masjid or you get closer to the hellfire. Because of that friend. He could either make or break your religion. This is why the Salaf, they say, As-sahibu, sahib. The companion, he is someone that will pull you. Depending on what kind of person he is. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you think all your boys, your friends that were there for you in this dunya, they're going to be any benefit for you? Forget about your friends, your parents are going to run away from you. Yawm al-Yafirru al-Mar'u, من أخي وأمه وأبي وصاحبتي وبني. The mom runs away. The father runs away. Your children run away from you. Your wife that you love, that she loves you so much, she can't bear staying away from you for like 5-10 minutes. In the first few months, honeymoon period, right? She loves you to bits. She's clinging to you. She doesn't want anything to do with you. And this is an example of the closest of those that are so close to you in this dunya. Allah says in the Quran also, Al-akhillahu yawmaydin ba'dhum li ba'dhin adu illa al-muttaqeen. Close friends, in this dunya are going to be enemies and foes on Yawm al-Qiyamah, except for those who have taqwa, for the muttaqeen, the righteous ones. Allah says in the Quran also, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. The day when the oppressor is going to stop biting his nails. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. If only I never took fulan, so and so as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدِ إِذْجَانِ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْنِسَانِ خَذُولًا. After the remembrance, guidance came to me, he misguided me. This is an example of a parent coming to his children and telling them, Ya Muhammad, stay at home, don't do X, Y, Z. Read your Quran, stick to the masjid. But then you have the whispers of the shaytan. Your bad companions coming, telling you, YOLO. You only live once. Just try it out. Come do this with us. And in dhikri ba'di izjani wa kana shaytan al-insani khadula. The shaytan misguides, disappoints, misguides that individual. There's plenty of ayat, brothers and sisters, just remember that day. إِنَّكُمْ تُحْشَرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. going to be gathered on Yom Al-Qiyamah, as it came in the hadith in Abbas, you are barefooted, you are naked, and you're uncircumcised. Today, someone started running outside and is naked. Every media team in this country is going to report that straight away. Daily Mirror, The Sun, it's going to be on the front page. A man lost his mind and he started running on Broad Street and he's naked. Everyone's going to come out on their windows, oh, looking. What's going on? People are going to be laughing at him. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after she heard the narration, أَيَنْظُرُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. On the people, the men and the women are going to be looking at one another. Because this is what's most likely to happen now if someone started running outside naked, right? You know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ أَشَدْ مِنَ يَهِمْهُمْ دَالِكَ. The matter is too severe. The matter is too severe for the people to be even thinking about that. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَا تَدَالُ كُلَّ مَرْضَعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَةٍ وَتَضَعُ كُلَّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسِ سُكَارَ وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Every breastfeeding woman, she's breastfeeding her child, she's going to drop him. The woman who's pregnant, she's going to drop her baby. Again, if a woman was to get a baby and drop her, the social service are going to be at her door. She's going to have problems. That's going to be something normal. But that's the severity of that day. People are running around intoxicated. Today we laugh at drunk people. You see a drunk guy moving back and forth like that, from side to side, start laughing at him. Look. That's going to be the reality of the people. Sukara. What man is Sukara? They look like they're intoxicated, but the guy's not intoxicated. But that which is making the people in this situation is because the adab, the punishment is so severe, and everyone is scared. Everyone is fearful of being chucked in that fire. And I told you about Abu Talib, the kind of punishment he's going to have. Someone's going to think that it's the lightest punishment, but someone's going to think that it's the worst of the punishment, but it's the lightest one. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who have the best companions, and يَخْتَارَ لَنَا وَيَنْتَخِبَ لَنَا جلساء الصالحة, righteous companions. Because wallahi, brothers and sisters, it could either lead us to Al-Jannah, it could lead us to the fire. Not only will we be khasirun in the hereafter, but also in this dunya. I have family members, brothers and sisters, who are in prison. They came out, they wanted to change their lives. And it only takes one shot, one shot. You do one thing in the wrong place in the wrong time. Whether it is you want to go and rob that thing from the shop, or you just want to carry that knife, that one time that you try it, that your friend says, "Akhi, it's only one time, brother, no one's going to catch up, nothing's going to happen. Just come and club with me just for one night. Just once. Once ain't going to hurt anything. We're going to practice later when we get older. What guarantee do you have you're going to even reach tomorrow?" Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِ. When you pray, pray the farewell prayer. Meaning, pray that prayer as if you might not get another prayer. You might not be able to reach Maghrib today. So perfect that prayer as much as you can. What guarantee do we have that I'm going to leave this message today? I always mention this, brother. No one's going to come message you. You're not going to get WhatsApp message, Facebook message, "Oh brother, get ready, inshallah, you're going to die in a few hours." La wallahi. That one time your friend is saying to you, imagine within that one time something happens to you. And then you get chucked in prison. And then you come out, you want to change your life. Just go in circles. Like I mentioned, have this on the back of your minds, brothers and sisters. People today who don't have criminal records, they can't get jobs. So who's going to employ you? You have a criminal record. They just want a job that is minimum wage, £5, £6 an hour. And you think that boss, the company owner, is going to even trust or take any chances with you? Subhanallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayhi. JazakumAllah khair, brothers and sisters, for listening attentively. If anyone has any questions pertaining to the topic, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our Ustad Abu Taymiyyah hafidhahullah for his efforts and for his knowledge, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless his knowledge and to increase it in what's good. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who hear the speech and abide and act by it. So if the sisters have any questions, they can send them through inshallah. And if the brothers have any questions pertaining to the subject, they may ask. Jazakumullah khair. Jazakumullah khair.
Thank you.